The Bible furnishes us completely. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So the scriptures give us what we need. Amen? Amen. In 2 Peter 1:3, the Bible says, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. So we've got what we need. A universal need of mankind is something to go by, a pattern, a model, if you wish. If you bake a cake, you go by what? A recipe. If you build a house, you go by what? A blueprint. Isn't that right? Had a guy say one time, I don't go by a blueprint. I said, of course you do. I said, is your house so many feet long and so many feet wide? Yeah. I said, is your bathroom got certain dimensions? Yes. I said, your blueprint's in your mind. It may not be on the hood of your pickup truck, you know, at your construction site, but you are going by something, right? And so if you make a garment, you go by what? A pattern. And so in a similar fashion, we need a pattern. We need a model to go by in life. And of course, we're talking about walking with Jesus. Jesus is that pattern. Now, I'm going to try to do something here. If this leg will cooperate a little bit, it sort of ceased to cooperate last night. I'm going to hang on to this board here. And I got my eraser and stuff. But we're going to look at four passages. Now, y'all listen to me. I'm a little ill today. I was still looking at the clock this morning at 2 o'clock. I didn't go to sleep till after that time. So don't give me any hard times, okay? I'm just warning you up front. Just being honest with you. No. Okay, but here's what I'm going to do. Now, y'all listen up. Are you listening? I'm going to give you four verses of Scripture. You got to learn these. I'm going to give you four words from the four verses. Okay? And I'm going to give you a test. Uh-oh. All right. Okay. The first verse is 1 Corinthians 11:1. The King James says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. But the word follow there is really not a good translation. The word is this word. Mimetes. That's the Greek word. You say, well, I don't know any Greek. Well, fine. I'm okay with that. But I'm going to teach you four words today, though, that you will know. Okay? And the word here is mimetes. You probably have a translation that says, be imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. And that's a better translation. You can even see it in the word, can't you? You see that? So the word imitate is really a better word. All right. And actually in the New King James, it's translated imitate instead of follower. Now, why is it a better word? Well, I'll tell you why. You may follow someone without necessarily taking into your life the traits of the person you're following. In politics, you may follow someone's leadership because you agree with their political philosophy and their political policies. But suppose this person also has the habit of using bad language. Suppose this person is guilty of bad behavior. You see what I'm saying? You follow the person, the governor or whoever it is, you know, because you agree with the philosophy or the policy, but you do not imitate that person, see? You see, imitate's a bigger word than follow. See, you can follow somebody without imitating them, but when you imitate somebody, you do two things. Number one, you follow that person, you're like a disciple, you've attached yourself to that person, you are an adherent, but also you try to take into your life the characteristics of the person you are following. So see, as disciples of Christ then, we follow Jesus, we follow His leadership, we recognize him as Lord, but at the same time, we try to cultivate in our lives his attitude, his beliefs, and his behavior. You see what I'm saying? So what's our first scripture? 1 Corinthians 11:1, and the word is what? Mimetes. All right, here's the next one. It is 1 Peter 2:21 and following. Because of our time, I might not go over all of that. And the word is, it's a big one. I had a student one day ask me, how you spell big one? I said, why, boy, you surely know how to spell big one. I said, look it up. All right. Here's the word, hupogrammos. And it is translated example. It's translated example. For hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us, what? Say it. An example. That we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was threatened, you know, he didn't return in a threatening manner, and so forth. I won't go over the whole, but it really goes through about verse 23. But the word I want us to think about is example. Now, you say, now, Brother David, why do you want to tell us that big word? Well, you know, in the first place, I don't use a lot of big fancy words. I've told my students over the years, don't be dumping a bunch of Greek on people. I minored in Greek. I know classical Greek. You know, I can translate Plato and so forth. But I try to just say, well, in a sermon, I may say the word really means this. See, I've done my Greek work at my desk, and then I share with you my findings. But I want you to see these words for a particular reason today, okay? This word, hupogrammos, is from two words. This means under, and this is the word, you remember our favorite subject in school, English, grammar. Was that your favorite subject? Don't be telling a story now. But we get the word grammar from this word, okay? And it means to write, the verb, write. Now, so it literally means to write under. All right, now let's quote the verse literally. You know, someone says, I want a literal translation. Well, I'm going to give it to you. You ready? For hereunto are you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us a right under. Wow, that's really enlightening, isn't it? See, so ease up on some people on their translations. See, literal is not always the best. See, literal means to write under. See, that makes no sense to us. But the word means a model to be copied in writing or drawing. That's what the word means, a model to be copied. So now the word example is a good word, isn't it? Because example is a model. Does that make sense? Now, I want to try to illustrate something here, if I can. Okay, now in Mississippi, I started school in the first grade. Now, Ms. Leip will tell you, well, I went to kindergarten. And I'm saying, well, fine, I'm from Mississippi. Anyway, do you remember our first grade tablets? You remember them? Okay, they were blue and white, weren't they? Remember that? And at the top of the tablet were these letters. Remember that? It went across the top. And our teacher says, now we're going to learn our letters. Okay? Now the tablet looked like this. Had a line. You remember that? And then another line. And then there was a heavier space right here. Sorry, I can't do better with this deal I'm dealing with here. But you get the idea, don't you? Okay. So then our teacher would say, all right, now we're going to learn our letters. Now I'm making a point here. Y'all listen. You ready? It's going to ease up on you. Okay. And so our teacher would say, start right here. Now that A may have been like this. I don't remember. Do y'all remember? Might have been that way. I make my A's like that. And then she'd say, make your little letter A right here. And then your big letter B, your little letter B, and so forth. Remember that? And then she'd say, go all the way across the top of the page. And then guess what? At the end down there, I see if you was doing Hebrew, you'd just read back this way, you see. But this is like, and this is not like hoeing cotton. We got to the end of the row. My daddy would say, boy, you can make it. I couldn't even see the end of the row. It was so long. But he said, you can make it to the end. But when I got to the end, good news. I just got to start over. But see, this is not what you do. You can't start over down here. You do what? You come back over here. Is that right? And then the teacher would say, start your letters here and so forth. You get the point, don't you? Now, as we went down the page, you may not recall this, but as we went down the page, our letters did not look as good as they did at the top of the page. You know that? And there's a reason for that. Because here was the pattern right here, okay? And as we went down the page, sometimes we had a tendency to look at the previous line. Are you with me? Now you say, well, now, Brother David, what does all that mean? Well, this is what this word means. It's a writing copy, a model. All right, so you say, what's the point? Well, here's the point. Jesus is the writing at the top of the page. The rest of this page here is our life. And what we put on that page is our manner of living. Now, as long as we'll keep our eyes up here, you know, toward Jesus, then we're going to be better equipped as to know how to write in life. You see what I'm saying? Isn't that a powerful word? It literally means to write under. Jesus is the writing at the top of the page. The rest of the page is our life. And what is, and the manner of our living is the writing on the page. And if we would be faithful, we would stay close to the writing at the top, which is whom? Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, sometimes those of us who are rather OCD would get a little distressed when we're trying to make our letters, you know, on the page. And we'd say to the teachers in aggravation, you know, it doesn't look right. And our teacher would say, don't worry about it. Practice, 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 because practice makes perfect. And so in life, if we find that there is a difference here in our life, and the specimen copy at the top, who is whom? Jesus. We don't need to get too discouraged and beat ourselves up too much. What we need to remember is what we learned in the first grade. Practice, practice, practice. Because that makes perfect. You got it? That makes sense? Okay, number three. Already got two words, memetes and hupagrammos. I'm going to let you off today. You just need to learn the English words, okay? And the scripture. Okay. The third one is Second Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. And the word here is that in Greek, that's an omega. So I haven't dropped the ball there, but you signify that with a long O. The word is metamorpho. Now, what does that word mean? Well, it literally means to transform. It's used elsewhere in Scripture, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Watch it. Be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. Same word. Same word in Romans 12 and 2. Now, we know this word. We learned it a long time ago, not in the first grade, but I learned it in biology. And the word that we learned was what? Metamorphosis, from which is derived from this word right here. Metamorphosis. Now, we know that word describes the process that a butterfly or that a caterpillar undergoes in order to become a butterfly. Okay? We'll come back to that in just a minute. It has been said that over years, because of close association, that a husband and wife begin to look like each other. Have you ever heard that? Aren't you glad that's not entirely true? You see? But it is unquestionably true in the spiritual realm. It is an undisputed fact that we become like those with whom we associate. Did you hear that? We become like those with whom we associate. I was doing a meeting, David, over in Dalton, Georgia, and one of the elders said, we know that our preacher, you know, was one of your students. I said, really? I said, why do you say that? Well, you know, he gestures like you, and they went through all of that. You see, as students, we sit at the feet of professors, sometimes in my case, with some professors, I took every class that they taught. And you don't consciously adapt their mannerisms. You don't consciously adapt their patterns of speech. But you subconsciously pick up on a lot of things, you know, like that. Not necessarily bad. It's just something that we do and we need to acknowledge it. I left Fried Hardeman and transferred to Harding over in Searcy, Arkansas. And I preached for a little church up in Cave City, Arkansas. It's north of Searcy, about 60 miles. And met some people there, became friends, still friends with one of them in particular. His name was and is Jerry. And I'd go visit Jerry, and Jerry was a big hunter and big fisherman. And I'd say, Jerry, you going to go fishing Saturday? You bet. Said, you gonna catch a big one? You bet. And deer season would open up. I said, you gonna get another deer this year? You bet. And I'd come home and Linda'd say, you want some cornbread for supper? You bet. And she said, you've been over at Jerry's, haven't you? You bet. And see, Jerry, he used that expression, you bet, all the time. And I couldn't be around him very long before I was you betting also. We just naturally do that. The Bible says evil communications corrupt good morals. You cannot, listen to me, you know this, you've taught your children this. You cannot run with the devil's crowd and warm by the devil's fireside without taking on the traits of the devil. Well, Dad, I'm not going to marry the guy. How many of you ever heard that? Let me tell you something. You tell your children this. You're not going to go over here and run with this bunch that you don't need to be with to start with. And then when you get ready to get married, say, well, I'm going to go over here and get me one out of this bunch. It doesn't work that way. You marry those what? With whom you associate. Isn't that right, Dad? It's just a natural phenomenon. Now, let's get back to this word transform just for a bit. It describes the process that a caterpillar undergoes to become a butterfly. Now, that process takes some time. I don't know a lot about it, but there's time that the caterpillar is a caterpillar, and then you have that instantaneous moment when he emerges as a beautiful butterfly, right? Similarly, when we become Christians, you know, there's this gradual transition. You know, we're in the world, and people like you are teaching and trying to show them the way of the Lord more perfectly. And then they eventually name the name of Christ, and they emerge a child of God. See, that's rather instantaneous to me. And that happens when a person is buried in a watery grave of baptism and then rises to walk in newness of life. Am I right? Now, Dan, I have a book in my library that I read by one of our brethren, unfortunately, who said you cannot identify on a continuum exactly when a person is saved. I beg to differ with that. Romans 6 makes it pretty clear to me that when you go down, you're an old man. When you come up, you're a new man. You see what I'm saying? Now, there's a process to get to that point, but then we emerge a new man. But now listen, when we emerge out of the watery grave of baptism, we are not all we can become spiritually, are we? I've talked to some people, you know, who have alcohol problems, and they become Christians, and I say, listen, when you obey the gospel of Christ and become a child of God, and you come up out of that water, you're still going to have a desire for drink. Is that right or wrong? If you go down with certain lust, you're going to come up, you know, with lust. I talked to one guy who had such financial troubles that he concluded that if he became a Christian, that all of his financial troubles would disappear. I said, listen to me. If you go down owing the bank, you come up owing the bank. They want their money. Is that right or wrong? But you see, when you come up, you begin at that point a spiritual journey. You see what I'm saying? You begin a spiritual journey. And every day you build on that journey. Every day you're becoming something, you know, different. And that desire to drink, hopefully in time, will diminish. Those lustful desires, hopefully in time, will diminish. You see what I'm saying? Because after all, our goal is to be conformed to the Lord Jesus Himself, Romans 8 and 29. And here, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, I don't even think I read it, did I? We are being transformed. Let's read it together. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. It says, we are being transformed into the same image. Now you think about that. This year, you're supposed to look more like Jesus than you did last year. Is that right? Next year, we're supposed to look more like Jesus than we do this year. No wonder God wants us to come home. No wonder He welcomes us. We're being transformed into the image of His dear Son. Last verse, real quick. Brother Dan's giving me the whatever. Is Philippians 1 and 20. PH. Philippians 1, 20. All right. Let's look at that one real quick. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body. whether by life or by death. Okay. This word is megaluno. And the word is magnify. You may have exalt in your version. It means magnify. Now, notice that Brother Paul says, whether by life or by death, I'm determined that Christ will be magnified in my body. One of the faults that I have is observing people more closely than I should. If you want some cheap entertainment, go to Walmart. And sit on that bench where you get your prescriptions. I don't even know what to say about that. A fellow walked by me one day, and it was either barbells or bones, I don't know, but he had them in one in each ear and one in his nose. And I said to myself, now I wonder how that job interview's going. Sir, I'd like to apply for a job here. What kind of job is that going to be? But at any rate, I see Brother Paul here doing something like this. I see him looking out in the distance. Now let me back up. Have you noticed that we do something like this? I'm trying to rush down. Have you noticed that we do this? If we want to see something way out there, a lot of times we will cover our eyes. Am I right? Now that makes a little bit of sense to me because we're shading our eyes from the sun, right? But if you noticed another thing we do, we'll... Now what did I gain there? About 8 inches maybe? You see, well, I can really see it now. I mean, it's 100 yards out there, but I got another 8 inches here because I went from point A to point B. You know, have you ever noticed that? And then a third thing I've noticed that we do is we'll shade our eyes, we'll go forward a little bit, and then we'll... What did I get there? What is that, about 2 inches? It's funny to me. But here's what I see Brother Paul doing. I see Brother Paul doing this, looking out into the future and saying, I don't know what lies out there for me. I don't know if it's life, or I don't know if it's death that's awaiting me. I don't know. But one thing I know is Jesus is going to be magnified in my body. The word magnify means to enlarge. You take a magnifying glass and lay it over this print, it doesn't change the size of the print, but it makes the print appear bigger. Now you think about that. I wish people would just look at me and see Jesus in me. Here's the Apostle Paul, you know, saying, when they look at me, I am determined that they're going to see Jesus big in my life. We're writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that we do and the words that we say. You've heard this. Men read what we write, whether faithless or true. Oh, say, what is the gospel according to you? Thank you very much.